Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Chaf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda Meshmul, Mnei Maloi Nimshcha Malchus Beis Shol. As we discussed yesterday, we spoke about the monarchy of Shol, and the Gemara wants to know why that monarchy didn't last. Says the Gemara, Mnei Shloi Hoye Bashem Daifi. There was nothing wrong with that monarchy. Shol HaMelech was a perfect person, no averis. We don't appoint a community leader. Unless he has some skeletons in his closet. If it gets to his head that he's the head of the kehillah, we tell him, look at your past. You're not perfect. So Pash Pshat in the Gemara is that we want to get to the community leader's head, to the parents' head, that he has such an important position. So in order to avoid that, if he has some of his own issues in the background, that'll keep him in check. The Degemach Nefraim explains, important quality of a communal leader is that he should be able to relate to everybody in the community. And if he has a perfect background, and also he is now a communal leader, he won't be able to relate to the everyday person who does have issues and does have problems. So that's why, specifically, we want to have a person that has his own issues to contend with. However, of course, the Mashab points out, it has to be me'achayrav. It has to be a person that has these issues in the past. Currently, he's a tzaddik. And in fact, some of the Farshim say that's part of why he should be appointed. Because we want somebody who's somewhat of a Baal Tshuva. As we know that the level of Baal Tshuva, the Makom Shebaal Tshuva Oimdim, ain't tzaddikim gemurim yecholim lamed. And the Farshim say that actually, that's part of what Korach's error was. The Medrash says, Ma ra Korach l'shtuzeh. How did Korach make this mistake? Einoi hitasoi. His eye fooled him. What's pshat? So the Mefarshim say, Korach knew this Gemara. He knew that the Gemara here says that somebody to be appointed a leader has to have something in his background. And Korach had no problems in his background. So he figured he can't be a leader. But then he saw that he's going to have a grandson, Shmuel. And Shmuel, in the way he saw it, had nothing in his background, and yet Shmuel was going to be appointed the leader of Klal Yisrael. So he thought, obviously, that it's not necessarily to have a requirement that you have to have something in your background. What was Korach's mistake? That Shmuel's background problem was that it was Korach. That Shmuel had a grandfather Korach. Eina Hitasa, he didn't look at himself. Had he looked at himself, he would have realized that Shmuel doesn't have a perfect background, and he who does have a perfect background should not be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Nema Nena Shol. Why was Shol punished? Nei Shemachal Al Kvoidai. He was very quick to forgive people who didn't respect him properly. Shnemar, as it says, of Nei Bin Eyal, the people who revolted said, Amru, Ma Yoshienu Zeh, what could Shol do for us? Via Vizeu, they embarrassed him. V'loi Heviloi Mincha, they refused to bring him any gifts to recognize him. V'hi Kamakrish, and he remained silent. V'ksilv, and it says there in the Pasuk, V'yal Nochosh Admoni, V'yichan Al Yovei Shkilat. V'am Rabbi Yochim Hashem Rabbi Shimon Yitzodik. What does this Pasuk teach us? Kol Tamut Chochem, She'en Noikim V'noiter K'nochosh. A Tamut Chochem that doesn't take revenge and doesn't hold a grudge like a snake, ain't a Tamut Chochem. So why like a snake? So the Mefarshim say a few explanations. One explanation is that the Medrash says that a snake doesn't have any pleasure from what it eats. Here too, even if a Talmud Chacham takes revenge, he shouldn't enjoy taking revenge. Another pshat I saw is the Pasuk says, "V'hu yishufcha ekev," that the snake takes the bite from the heel. What does it mean it takes the bite from the heel? First of all, the heel is not the most important part of the body. Even if you're going to take revenge, don't take a big revenge. Take a small revenge. Another pshat is that ekev means the end. when should revenge, if it's required to be taken? At the end, if you take a see that the person harmed you, and you have a right, as we will learn now in the sugya, to take revenge, you take revenge. But you don't take revenge as soon as something happens, because maybe things will show that you shouldn't have taken revenge. And a fourth pshat is that the power of a snake is in its mouth, that it bites with its mouth. A Talmid Chacham, even if he's going to do something, should do it with his mouth, but never, chas v'shalom, with his hands. Never should somebody raise his hand, one Jew to another Jew, attack one Jew, another Jew, physically. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to take revenge? The Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Laisikaim v'laisitar. Answers the Gemara, Hahu b'mamahu d'ksiv. That Pasuk is talking about financial revenge. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Eza Nekima, what's revenge? Veza Natira, what does it mean taking a grudge? Nekima, Amalai Sheleinu Maglach. I asked somebody, please lend me your plow. Amalai Lav, he refuses. Lamacha Amalai, the next day he tells me, Hashleinu Kadumach, could you lend me your sickle? Amalai Eni Meshilcha, Kederach Shloi Shaltani. Just like you refuse to lend to me, I won't give to you. Zui Nekima, that's called revenge. Veza Natira, what's Natira? Amalai Shleinu Kadumach, I ask you to lend me something. Amalai Loi, so you say no. Lamachar, Amalai Hashleinu Chulka, then you ask me the next day. And Ritva points out why you asked me for a plow and I asked you for a shirt. The point is, even if it's not the same type of item, if the reason I refuse is because Ha'imalai Halach, I'm giving it to you, but I say, Eni Kamoscha, I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to have your characteristic, Shloi Shaltani. That is already Natira. So we see that you're not going to take revenge. So the Gemara says that's talking about in a financial situation. Our Gemara that says the Talmud Chacham is allowed to take revenge is talking about non-financial revenge. We'll go further on that in a moment. Just some halacha lemaisa on revenge. Some poskim actually indicate that this entire Gemara is only talking about an acquaintance. So by an acquaintance, if you asked me for something and I didn't give it to you and then you take revenge or hold a grudge, then there's an issue of Nekim and Natira. But let's say we don't have any relationship. So when you came to me, I didn't give it to you because I don't know you. And then when I come back to you and you don't give it to me because you don't know me, that's not called revenge. Just we don't have a relationship. That's one halacha lemaisa. Another interesting halacha lemaisa that I saw from the Marshag. The Marshag says, this is talking in a situation where I asked you for something you refused, and then you asked me and I refused. What's going to be the halacha, he says, that you didn't just refuse to do me a favor. You actually did me something bad. You hurt me, if financially or in any other way. Am I still mechuyev to do you a favor? I'm still obligated to do you a favor. So it says, perhaps I'm not obligated to do you a favor under those circumstances when you did bad to me. Here we're talking that there's no relationship at all. There's a friendly relationship. And the chinuch, a beautiful chinuch, explains why are nekima v'netira asur. So he says, because it really boils down to Yerushalayim. He says, a believing Jew has to believe that if I ask you for something and you refuse to do it, it's not you that refused. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that you shouldn't do it for me. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it, why should I be angry at you? It's not you, it's Hashem. Ask the Gemara, v'tzar d'guf aloy, on a non-financial level, I am allowed to take revenge, v'tanya. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, hanalovim, those that are embarrassed, v'ena oilvim, but don't get embarrassed. Shoimim cherposom, they hear how people embarrass them, v'ena meshivim, and they don't respond. So the Rasha points out what's this, so to speak, redundant lashon. So the Rasha says, so I saw two pshatim. Hanalovim v'ena oilvim is when somebody embarrasses me directly. Shoimim cherposom v'ena meshivim is that not that the person directly embarrassed me, but somebody comes and tells me, you know what this person said about you. That's one pshat. Another pshat I saw is another vein of him, that the person embarrasses me. But to make matters worse, the person that embarrasses me and tells and says something about me that I have a deficiency, he himself has that deficiency. And yet, ain't a meshivim, I don't respond. Oysim yehavim, v'smechim v'yisurim. They serve Hashem with love, because they realize that everything that happens comes from Hashem. Aleihem hakosuf oimer. Regarding these people, the pasuk says, "V'oyavov." The people who are Kodesh Baruch Hu loves, "Kitzeis Hashemesh begvurasoi," are like strong, like the sun. So Mashal says, why are they called oyavov? Why are they called people that Hashem loves? A person, it's a beautiful pshat, he says, if a person is embarrassed and he never responds, such a person is going to be loved because he doesn't get into fight with people. A person who's loved by people is the person that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves also. Why is he compared to the sun? So Mefarshim say that we remember Rashi in Parashat Bereishis says that the moon and the sun were created, they were created equally. And then the moon came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, it's Ein Shtei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. We can't remain equal. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He kept the sun and he made the moon bigger, smaller. So like the sun, who didn't say anything, didn't have a problem, he ended up being strong, big. So too, a person who doesn't complain, accepts, will remain and be strong. I saw a beautiful story explaining this Gemara. There was once a person, who was a Rebbe, who was embarrassed. Somebody embarrassed him. It came the next Shabbos, Dafka, specifically the person that embarrassed him, the Rebbe honored the most, gave him the most covet. And the people asked him, okay, you don't want to embarrass the person back, but why are you acting this way, giving him honor? So he said, I'll tell you why. He said, there was once a person who was told that there's a specific individual who could sell an antidote. He has some sort of a posik that you could say, that if you ever chas v'shalom attacked, you say that posik and nothing will happen to you. So he went to the person and he said, I want to learn this from you. He said, okay, two things. First of all, there's a price. And number two, you can't disclose it to anyone else if you want it to work. So he went, he paid him, and he bought the antidote, the secret. He leaves the person's house, and he realizes, what a foolish transaction. How do I know it works? How do I know what I bought really works? Maybe it doesn't work. But now he had a dilemma. To go tell somebody else about it and see if it'll work, if you disclose it, it doesn't work. So what does he do? While he's walking in the street with this dilemma, somebody comes and attacks him, tries to mug him. He says the pasuk, and the mugger gets paralyzed. He's so happy, he goes and he gives the mugger a present. The guy says to him, are you crazy? I wanted to attack you. Why are you giving me a present? He says, you don't know what a present you did for me. Till now, I didn't know if I didn't waste my money. Now I know it. I did a great deal. The same thing. A person who's attacked, till he's attacked, he lives his life. But what does the pasuk say? V'oyavav k'tzei sashemesh b'gvarasai. If you're attacked and you remain silent, what a wonderful bracha. So if somebody attacked me and I remained quiet, he was the vehicle through which I'm going to get this great schar. So I owe him a thank you. The Bav Rebbe explains, V'oyavav k'tzei sashemesh b'gvarasai, also a beautiful vart. He says that the Gemara says that when Mashiach will come, the sun that we have in this world is a lot smaller than the sun that will be in the time of Mashiach. The sun in the time of Mashiach will be 7 times stronger than it is today. So he says, if people live a life where they don't fight, they accept each other, they don't get embarrassed and they don't fight with each other, what will be the schar? We will become worthy of the time when the powerful sun will come out. It will be a schus for Mashiach to come. So we see that you're supposed to be quiet even on non-financial issues. Says the Gemara, he keeps it in his heart. He doesn't react, but he's allowed to hold it in his heart. And like Rishonim explain, and if therefore if one of his Talmidim or one of his supporters will do something to respond to the person that did something to him, he doesn't have to stop him. And that, the Meiri explains, was Shaul's mistake. Shaul's mistake was that he didn't even let his supporters defend his honor. In fact, there's a vart from Dimri Emes. Dimri Emes, somebody once attacked about an issue. So his son, the Leif Simcha, went, and the Emes didn't react. But his son, the Leif Simcha, stood up for his father's covet. So the Imri Emes said, the Imri Emes and Leif Simcha then had a conversation. So the Imri Emes said to Leif Simcha, I was following what the Gemara says. That the Gemara says here that a person is supposed to accept it and not react. So the Leif Simcha said, I'm also doing, Valeyem Akosavayim, you're supposed to be quiet, but everybody else is supposed to react for the honor of a Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik who's being attacked. As the Oyavov, his lovers, they have to go out to protect him. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rava, Kol Amave Amidoisav, Mavir Alay Kopshov, that a person is supposed to forgive everybody. By forgiving other people, your Averis will be forgiven. Answer the Gemara, the Mephias Slay Mephias. That if the person apologizes, then you should accept his apology. If he doesn't apologize, you could keep it in your heart and let your supporters do what they have to do. Sfasemis asks, if the Gemara here says that by accepting someone else's apology, all your Averis are forgiven, so the person can do all the Averis he wants, and just be a nice guy. So says the Sfasemis, a person who does Averis constantly is not a person who's able to forgive other people that do things against him. A Baal Averis doesn't have that ability. Only a Tzaddik has that ability. The Chassidish Sfarim say, Kol Amav Al Midoisov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates a person with a lot of different characteristics and personality and midos. What is a person supposed to do? Kol Amav Al Midoisov. He's supposed to use all of his various characteristics for Avodas Hashem. Even the characteristics that aren't so great, they have to be channeled for Avodas Hashem, and by doing that, Mavir and Laya Kol Pshov. There are two questions as we leave the sugya. One question is, the Gemara Masechta Megillah says, Rav Nechunya ben Akana, every night, before he went to sleep, would say that he's Meichel everyone who did him any bad. So the Mefarshim asked, and now Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to do that if people heard him. So what? And the Gemara said that's how Rav Nechunya ben Akana was worthy of Arichas Yom, that he lived a long life. What's pshat? So the Sfasemis says that Al Gemara and Masechta Megillah are arguing. The Al Gemara holds Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidai, Talmud Chacham that forgives his covered and Kvoidai Machal. The Gemara and Masechta Megillah holds Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidai, Kvoidai Machal. That's how the Sfasemis answers. The Rivash answers. The Gemara Masechta Megillah says that somebody didn't act with honor towards the Talmud Chacham. So Talmud Chacham shouldn't be so particular, he should forgive. Al Gemara is talking not only that he didn't give him honor, he actually embarrassed him. If he actually embarrassed him, that he shouldn't forget. Other Mefarshim answer that the Gemara Masechta Megillah is talking about that he embarrassed him privately. Al Gemara is talking where he was embarrassed publicly. Or, along the same lines, Al Gemara is talking about that he embarrassed him in Ruchnistiga issues, or in spiritual issues. The Gemara Masechta Megillah is talking about non-spiritual issues. And the Reb Aaron explains, in the Mishnah of Reb Aaron, what's the pshat. If somebody embarrasses a Talmud Chacham privately, so the Talmud Chacham has a right to forgive the person. But if he embarrasses him in public, so now it's not just that this person was embarrassed, there's an issue of Kavod HaTorah. I have no right, not me, I'm not a Talmud Chacham, but Talmud Chacham has no right to forgive the Kavod HaTorah that was abused. And that's why Noach Kalei Beliba should hold it in his heart. The Chavetz Chaim says that there's a Machloikus Rishonim after learning this Gemara. If Nekima and Netira are only by financial matters, for certain that there is on financial issues, what about on non-financial issues? He says, the Gemara, because it asked the Kasha, so the Rambam and the Chinuch learn, that L'maskani, even on non-financial issues, there is an issue of Nekima and Netira. Other Rishonim, the Rekeach, learn that on non-financial issues, there is no Nekima v'Netira. The Chavetz Chaim says, since it's a Shaila v'Issa Daraisa, Nekima v'Netira, Issa Daraisa, Sovuk Daraisa l'chumra, and even on non-financial issues, if somebody did me something bad, even on a non-financial manner, I should not take revenge or hold a grudge. Sovuk Daraisa l'chumra. So we learned in the Mishnah discussed the laterally that took place. How did it work? Everybody stuck out either one or two fingers. Ask the Gemara, hash the shtayim etzin, if they could stick out two fingers, ach mebaya, certainly they could stick out one. Answer the Gemara, Amar of Chizda like Kasha. Kam b'bari, kam b'chayla. A healthy person who could stick out only one finger should only stick out one finger. An ill person who isn't able to only stick out one finger may stick out two. And Vatanya, here Vatanya is a raya. Achas mitzin, one finger may be put out, shtayim ein mitzin, but not two. The medvar mamurim, regarding whom was that said, babari, a healthy person, av b'chayla, regarding an ill person, afilu shtayim mitzin, may put out two fingers. V'yechidim, continues the braisa, mitzin shtayim, may put out two fingers, ve'en marilam echos, but it only accounted for one. V'tanya, asked the, you're saying that they only counted one. For Tanya, Eimetzin like Shalosh, you're not allowed to stick out the middle finger, like Goydel, and not the thumb, from Ne'arimon. The thumb, like we learned yesterday, is easily manipulated. It could be stuck out or put in. And people will ask, if you see that the count is going in a certain direction, we don't want you to stick out the thumb and manipulate the count. Ve'imaytziu Shalosh, if you did stick out the middle finger, Minim like. They count for him. If he stuck out his middle finger, although he shouldn't have, we count him. Goydel, if he stuck out his thumb, we don't count him. Not only does he lose an opportunity to be part of the glottery, he gets Malchus. So here we see that we do count if you stick out two. And before we said that if you stick out two, we don't count. And it's Gemara, my manim loy namiachas. When we said you stick out two, it doesn't mean we counted for two. We counted for one. But one we still count as long as it's only the middle finger, not the thumb. So the Gemara says that if you stick out your thumb, you get Malchus from the Bekia. My Bekia, Amar Rav Marada. My Marada, my Madra, Amar Rav Papa, Metaka the Tayi, a leather strip that the Arab merchants had, the pasuk reisha, that the leather strip had like strands at the top, and that was used as a whip. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Mreish Havamina, at the beginning I used to say, Hodatnan, this that we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, Ben Biboy Mimon Al Pekia, Ben Biboy was appointed on top of the Pekia, he was the administrator of the Pekia. Amina, so I used to say, what does Pekia mean? Psilta, the wick. Kretnan, as the Mishnah actually says, Mivloi michnasei kahanim, from the worn-out pants of the kahanim, umehemeinayin, from their shirts, mehen hayumafkian, they used to tear them when they started getting worn out, or behen hayumadlikim, and that material was used as a wick. Kivin shmanu lahadatanya, once I heard that they said, v'loi oid el shaloikim emunah b'pkia, that if somebody actually stuck out his thumb, he gets Malchus from Bekia. I mean, in my Bekia, I said Bekia doesn't necessarily mean the wicks. It means Nagda, it means the whip. So said in the Mishnah, Ma'aseh Shoshnayim Shavim, this was one we had before the lottery. Two Kahanim, we had the race. Two Kahanim were running up the Kevis, Rotsin V'olam B'Kevis, and one made the other one break his leg. Tana Abonim. So the Gemara tells us a different story. Ma'aseh B'Shnei Kahanim Shoshnayim Shavim, two Kahanim were running, v'ratzin v'olam b'kevis, kidem echmeh mutoich arba amishol chaveroi, one, what was about to win the race, notel sakin v'tokin le'belibai. So the one murdered the other kohen. Om Rav Tzadik amalas ulam. So Rav Tzadik stood up and made the following speech. V'machinu beis Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Shimu, listen to what happened. Harei Oimer, we discussed the parasha of Egla Rufa yesterday. The Torah says, ki yimotzei chola ba'adama, if a corpse is found, people have to go out, we go through the process of Egla Rufa. Anu, us, Amila Havi Egla Rufa. For whom should we bring Egla Rufa in this terrible, tragic situation? Aliir, for Yerushalayim, or Al Azoris, for the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Am B'chia. When hearing this heart-rendering speech, everybody began to cry. Bo Aviv Shaltinik. So the father of this coin came. So the Mepharshim asked, the Yonah Shas asks, he must have been 20 years old, because a Kohen can't do the Avodah before he's 20 years old. So why is he being called teen like a baby? So they answer, of course he wasn't a baby. But again, to get the people to understand what a terrible thing happened, he said, this was my baby. It was my child. And he found this kohen as he was in the state of gesisa. He wasn't quite dead. He was thrashing around. His death will be forgive us. But since my son isn't yet dead, so the knife that was he was stabbed with is not yet tamei, because he hasn't died. Let's take the knife out of his body before he dies, and the knife should not become tamei. Lalandacha, what does this teach us? Shekoshlem taskeil miyos mishvich stamim. Look at the situation. This person's son was murdered, stabbed, and he's worried about the tumah of the knife. To teach us how significant they took tahara. And this goes back to a Gemara that we actually learned in Masechta Shkolim. The Gemara in Masechta Shkolim we learned taught us that Chazal made a gzeira that all pigul is tamei. So Tosfos asked, here you have a kohen that made something pigul. What a terrible aveira. So by saying that's going to be tamei, that's going to way prevent him from making pigul. So Tosfos answered, and that's what our Gemara is teaching us, that they were more concerned about tum and tahara than any other aveira. A different world. So here too, the father was more concerned about the tumah of the knife than the death of his son. The Keno Omer, and so it says, the gam regarding Menashe, the gam dam nochi shafak Menashe harbei ma'od. Menashe spilled a lot of innocent blood. Ad ashemileis Yerushalayim perlepeh. Yerushalayim was full of people who were murdered. Murder was not that of a significant avera to them. Ask the Gemara. So we've learned two stories. We've learned the story in our Mishnah where Cain broke his leg, and we learned now a story where Cain was stabbed. Ask the Gemara, Hai Maisa Kadim, which of these stories took place first? Ilam the Shvichas Tamim, if the story of murder took place, ask the Gemara, let's understand this. Hashtat Shvichas Tamim loy tekina paisa. A Cain got murdered, they didn't change the system of a race. So Nishba Ragla Tekina, so because of Kayin, which was less of a story, it was just that he broke his leg, we did establish a lottery. Ella says the Gemara, the Nishba Ragla Kaidim. First, the story of the broken leg took place. So I asked the Gemara, Vikim the Tekina Pais Abba Amis, if after the Kayin's leg was broken, and they changed it from a race to the lottery, Abba Amis may have to tell you, so how did the story of him having a race and the Kayin getting murdered ever happen? Says the Gemara, Loilam the Shvich Stam Kodim. First, there was the story of the Kohen got murdered. However, Mikara Sara, Akroi Balma, they thought, yes, a horrible story, terrible tragedy, a Kohen got killed. But they realized that this is not something that they really have to be worried about. Kohanim aren't murderers. It happened that there's one bad apple. That's how the Sfasemis explains. However, Kivin the Chazav, Filim and Melo, but they saw not a people not only murdering, that people are breaking legs. That's something we have to be worried about, and that's why Tekin Rabbanu Paisa, they abolished the race, and they started the lottery. So we learned. Om Rav Tzadik Amalas Ulam. Rav Tzadik got up and made the following speech. Om Achenu Beis Yisrael Shimu. Hareyu Omer, the Pasuk says, Ki Yimotze Chol Badama. If a corpse is found. Anan Amir Lahavi. For whom should we bring an Eglarufa? Aleir, for Yerushalayim. Or Al Azaris, for the Azara. Ask the Gemara. Yerushalayim bas suya egla rufa? Can an egla rufa be brought for Yerushalayim? For Tanya, we learned a Gemara, a sarud v'am nem Yerushalayim, 10 things were said about Yerushalayim, v'zu achs mehen, and one of them is the eina mevia egla rufa. So how could he even speak about egla rufa for Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is a city that wasn't divided, and a city that wasn't divided by dividing up Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the dinim of Egla Rufa. Ask the Gvur Sari, why does the Gemara say that the reason Yerushalayim doesn't bring an Egla Rufa is because it wasn't divided? It's a machlokes. We learned it in this Masechta, if Yerushalayim was or wasn't divided. You should have said a different reason. Yerushalayim is a metropolis where everybody came to Yerushalayim, and the halach is that a city which is a metropolis, which everybody comes to, isn't subject to the dinim of Egla Rufa. That's what the Gemara should have said. So the Gvura Sari says, not all of Yerushalayim was a metropolis. Certain areas were, where people came to be Oyel Regel, but not all of it. So the Gemara couldn't use that teretz The Gemara had to say that we're going according to Mount Amr, that Yerushalayim wasn't divided, and a city which wasn't divided by Yerusha isn't subject to Egla Rufa. Void, furthermore, Egla Rufa is not relevant here, because the pasuk regarding Egla Rufa says, Lo noida miyakol ksiv. Egla Rufa is only when we don't know who the murderer is. For ha noida miyakol. We know who the murderer was. So what's he speaking about Egla Rufa? Says the Gemara, what Rav Tzadik meant to do was ekdei laharbis v'vechiyah. He wasn't trying to say that the din of Egla Rufa is relevant here. It's certainly not relevant here. He was just trying to point out the tragedy of a murder. What does a dead person mean? And look what happened here. So we also learned on Amun Aleph, the Ba Aviv Shaltinuk, the father of this kohen came, umatzu kishum afafer, and found this his son in the throes of death. He should be a kapar for us, but since he's still alive, let's extract the knife before it becomes tamei. As we learned in Amun Aleph, they were more worried about the knife becoming tamei about this innocent murder. Ask the Gemara, exactly what was their perspective? Was it that shvich stamahu dazol, that they didn't care about murder? But they did care. It wasn't that they were super concerned about Taras Kalim. It was just that murder wasn't an issue to them. It was that Shvich Stamim wasn't lax. They didn't have a very serious approach, but they didn't have a very lax approach. It's just that Taras Kalim was the Chamira. Taras Kalim was very important to them. Toshma. So Gemara answers it. Midakov Nusla Tanuda. The Pasuk. The Gemara brings the pasuk by Menashe, v'gam dam nofki shafk Menashe, shvam in ashvich stam hu dezol. It was that murder was not important. It wasn't that they were super stringent on anything. But taras kailim kedekayim akayim. Ask the Ben Yoyada, what's the difference? What's the difference to know if murder is lax and they're okay and they're just fine with tahara, or the murder is fine and they're very stringent about tahara? What's the point? So he says a very interesting teretz. He says this story took place by Beis Hamikdash Rishon. The Gemara says that the Beis Hamikdash Rishon was destroyed for three averus: the Gilarai, Shvich Stamim, Avodah Zara. The Beis Hamikdash Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Says the Gemara to teach us that Sinas Chinam is as serious as the three most serious sins. Says the Ben Yoyada, we need to understand. If these were people that by them murder was nothing, so then I don't have a proof that sinas chinam is such a big avera. There are people that murder was nothing by. So the Gemara says it was in the first Beis Hamikdash that murder was nothing. In the second Beis Hamikdash, murder was something. It was just that sinas chinam was the avera that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed over. Tana Rabbanan. We spoke at the end of last parak, at the beginning of this parak, that the first avodah that took place every day was Trumas Hadeshen. That they took off, we'll learn tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, how much. They took off a koimetz full of ash and put it three tefachim away from the kevis. But there was another malacha, and that's called Hotzah Hadeshen. What is Hotzah Hadeshen? There was a, most Rishonim learn it this way, there was a big pile that was a heap of ash in the center of the Mizbeach. And when that heap got too big and impossible to work on the Mizbeach, they had to take that ash outside of the Azara. There's actually Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Rambam and Rashi, if Hotzah Hadeshen took place every day, or Hotzah Hadeshen took place only when the pile got too high. The Rambam learns that it took place every day. Rashi learns that it only took place when on an as-needed basis. So Al Gemara begins to discuss this malacha of Hotzah Hadeshen. The pasuk says, he should take off his clothing, v'lavish begadim acherim, and put on other clothing for Hotzah Hadeshen, and like that he should take out the deshen. Shemani, I would think, k'derech Yom Kippurim. Just like on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol Shepoisha Bigde Kodesh, Velovish Bigde Chol. Just like Yom Kippur, with a Kohen, depending on what Avodah he does, changes clothing from one set to another set. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. The Kohen Gadol has really two sets of clothing. Either he could wear eight clothing, Shemayin Begadim, or four. So depending on the Avodah, sometimes on Yom Kippur he wore the Shemayin Begadim, and sometimes he wore the Abba Begadim. So too, the Kohen, who also has two sets of clothing, but what are the two sets of clothing available to regular Kohen? The big day, the four Begadim, and weekday clothing. So here, the Pasuk is teaching us that for Tzor Steshen, he doesn't wear big day kuna, he wears his regular clothing. Tamaloymer, that's why the Pasuk says, Ufasha Begadov, Velavash Begadim Acherim, but Makish Begadim Shalavish. The Torah is telling us that the new clothing he should put on to do the Tzor Sadeshin should be similar lebegadim shepayshet to the clothing that he's taking off. Malahalan, what clothing is a kohen to take off? Big day kodesh, because that's what he's wearing till now when he was doing the avoda. Afkan, big day kodesh. So the pasuk is teaching us that even for Tzor Sadeshin, the kohen should wear big day kohuna. Ask the Gemara, so what does the word acherim mean? Inkei matam aloim acherim, different ones, p'chus mehen, they should be of less value. Like Rashi explains, that since he's going to be working with ash, he's going to get himself dirty by working with ash, she should wear cheaper clothing, cheaper linen, or clothing that already is somewhat not that usable, not to use the good set of clothing for working with ash. Rav Elazar goes a step further. Acherim v'hoitzi. What do I learn from the word acherim? Limed ha-kohanim bali mumin. The kohanim who are bali mum, that normally are not allowed to do the avoida, k'shem l'hoitzi edeshin, that are allowed to do the malach of hoitzah edeshin. There's a machloikis rishonim. When a kohen who's a bali mum, that according to Rav Elazar, is allowed to do the malach of a tzor steshen, does he have to wear big day kuhuna? What does Rabbi Elazar hold? Does he wear big day kuhuna or not? Most Rishonim, that's the way Tosfos learns, hold that according to Rabbi Elazar, the kohen who's a bal mum is allowed to do this malacha, but he wears the big day kuhuna. There are Rishonim that say that a bal mum never wears big day kuhuna. The Gevura Sari explains, we're saying that a kohen, who's normally disqualified from doing all other avoidus, is allowed to do a tzor steshen. But we have two people that are normally disqualified. We have a kohen who's a cholol, there's a problem with his yichus, and we have a kohen who's a bal mum. Ask the Gevura Sari, fine. The Rebbe Elazar is teaching us that the pasuk is telling us that somebody who's normally disqualified is now kosher. But why do I say it's a bal mum? Maybe I should say it's a cholol. And he makes his question stronger, because he says the halacha is that but the eved of a cholol did the avoid its kosher, regular avoider. But the eved of a bamum did the avoid its posel. So he says still, there's a fundamental difference between a cholol and bamum. A cholol is inherently disqualified. A bamum is not inherently disqualified. There's a technical problem that he's a bamum. So therefore, says the Gevura Sari, Rabbi Elazar says, if I'm going to choose a disqualification to say that's not such a significant disqualification and that this person should be allowed to do the Tzor Sadeshen, I'll say it's a bal mum, not a cholol. Amamar, acherim, p'chus mehen, that the begadim that he wears for Tzor Sadeshen are less valuable than the begadim that he wore for regular avoider. Why? As we explain, the tanner bei rishmol, begadim shabisha ben kedayr l'rabbi, the clothing that you use to cook, layivs ben kedayr l'rabbi, you shouldn't use to serve. Here too, the begadim used for tzar sedeshin are not the begadim that you normally do your avoider. Says the Gemara, we have a machlokes here regarding tzar sedeshin. Rabbi Elazar holds that a tzar sedeshin can be done with a balmum. Tanakama says not. Omer Rish Lakish says, K'machloikis b'itzah, the same machloikis we have regarding Haitzah Sadeshin will have regarding Haroma, Truma Sadeshin. Rabbi Elazar will hold that a Balmum is qualified to do Truma Sadeshin, Tanakama will hold that a Balmum may not do Trumas Adeshin. Rabbi Yochan disagrees. Machloikis by Tzor. Yes, regarding a Tzor Adeshin, we have a Machloikis Tanakama who holds a Tzor Adeshin may not be done by Balmum, and Rabbi Lezer holds it may be done by Balmum. Avo Baharoma, regarding Trumas Adeshin, Divri Hakol Avoidihi. Everybody will agree that a Balmum may not do it because it's a full-fledged Avoider. My Talmud Rish Lakish. Why does Rabbi Shlokish hold that a Tzor Adeshin may be done by a Balmum? Amalach, he explains to you. Isal kedatach avoidahu, if you're going to say that's a full-fledged avoidah, yesh lach avoid shikshar b'shnei kelim, the only two garments that are mentioned regarding the kohen wearing when he does this are the mechnasayim, the pants, and the ksayim, and the shirt. Not the hat, the mitznefes, nor the avnet. So why not? Because it's not a full-fledged avoidah. So the Meshech Chachm explains, why these two begodim yes, and these two begodim not? So he says that regarding the hat and the avnate, the Torah says the lechaver l'sfaris, that to honor and glorify the kohen. Hatzos deshin is nothing to be glorified over. The pants and the shirt aren't worn for glory, for honor. They're worn because you have to wear them. Rabbi Yochanan, goli rachmana b'mesktayos mechnasayim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Torah tells us Ksoinus and Mechnasayin should be worn. For who are dealing with Snefes and Avnei? But really, they have to wear all four begodim. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish holds that it's a full-fledged, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that he can't do any of the avoda. Umayish Nohani, ask the Gemara, why are these begodim different? Why did the Torah speak about these two begodim? If Rabbi Yochanan says that he's allowed, supposed to wear all four, so he says the Torah mentions these two begodim for a different reason. Midabad, when the Torah speaks about the shirt, to teach us midai kimidasai, that the shirt has to be made to fit the kohen. Nichnasei bad, and what did the Torah talk about the pants? Lechetanya. Menayin shlai dove koidel nichnasayim. How do we know that the first garment that the kohen has to put on is the pants? Shenemar, or nichnasei bad, yilbash abasari. Ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, how could he say that the Torah picked these two begodim to teach us that only these two begodim are worn, nothing else? We need these psukim to teach us the dinim that we just learned. Answers Rish Lakish, midoi kimidasai. The pasuk is teaching us the shirt is to the size. But if all the Torah was trying to teach us was that the shirt has to fit the kohen perfectly, it should have said, ketuntai, his shirt. Why did the Torah use the word midai? Mida achke rachmana b'loshim midai, shlayedav akadam nechnasayim, ma'basara nafkai. So we learned that nothing should come before the pants from the word al-basari. As from the word midai, Rish Lakish learns two things. Number one, that it has to fit, and number two, that he only has to wear the shirt and pants, nothing else. Because if the Torah was only going to teach us that the shirt has to fit perfectly, it would have been enough to say kusuntai. What did it say? Midai? To teach us that he only wears those two things. That's why Rish Lakish says, since the Torah says he only wears those two begodim, no other begodim, it's a raya, it's not a full-fledged avoida. And since it's not a full-fledged avoida, Rabbi Lezer holds that even a Balmum may do that avoida. There's an interesting tshuva from the Torah Lishma. He asked the following shaila. The Gemara says here that the pants have to be put on first. He says, what's going to be the halacha if a kohen makes an error? He puts on the shirt before the pants. So he puts on the shirt and then the pants. Is it enough that he should just take off the shirt? So now he has the pants on before the shirt. Or is the halacha that he has to take off the shirt and the pants, then put on the pants again, and they should be put on first? And he says that it's not just enough to take off the shirt, that if this would happen, you would have to take off both the shirt and the pants. Put on the pants first, and then put on the shirt again.